Well, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you today about ways we can improve nitrogen management, and especially talking about environmentally smart nitrogen, or ESN. I want to thank my co-authors on this talk, Dr. Matt Clover and Dr. Alan Blaylock. All of us are with Agrium Advanced Technologies. Before we really get started, let's talk about our goal here in supplying the nutrients with fertilizers. The goal that we need to look at is to supply what the plant needs, when it needs it, and in a form that's available to the plant, or in a form that will become available to the plant. We need to think about the four R's that Wayne's already mentioned to us today. We need to make sure we put out the right source, at the right rate, at the right time, and in the right place. A little bit some definitions that we need to talk about, and Dr. Golden's already talked about some of these before, and we're just going to reiterate some of this. But an enhanced efficiency fertilizer, we're going to take this from the AFCO definitions. It's a fertilizer that increases nutrient availability and uptake and decreases losses to the environment compared to a reference soluble fertilizer. So there's three main groups of enhanced efficiency nitrogen fertilizers. When we break these into groups, we can look at the inhibitors or stabilizers. These are designed to protect nitrogen by slowing the conversion of these forms to the most easily lost forms of nitrogen. We've got the uncoated, slowly available fertilizers that slow the release of nitrogen by reducing solubility or slowing biological or chemical decomposition. These are things like the methylene ureas and the urea formaldehydes. And then we've got the coated soluble fertilizers. These are the slow release of nitrogen through a physical coating on the particle. This can be things like sulfur-coated materials where the nitrogen is released by the destruction of the coating, or a polymer-coated product where the nutrients are released by movement through the coating. The coating is not actually destroyed, but it remains intact. And so what is the value of an enhanced efficiency fertilizer? We've got several questions we need to address when we're considering the value of these fertilizers. First is, can an enhanced efficiency fertilizer help solve the grower's nutrient management challenges at a justifiable cost? We need to understand what's going on here. We need to realize that no one product is going to solve all of a grower's needs, and we need to make sure we analyze the cost in these situations, make sure it's going to be profitable to the grower. Next, we need to understand what problem is to be solved. Are we trying to reduce nitrogen loss? Are we trying to control nitrogen supply to the crop? Are we concerned with crop safety? Are we making multiple applications and may want to look at the possibility of reducing some applications and application cost? Next, does the fertilizer offer some benefit to the growers or dealers that they're willing to pay for? Things like time savings, less trips through the field, things like that. And finally, are there any intangible benefits which have a value to the user but may not be directly measured in dollars? Things like time spent with the family, peace of mind, things like that. So let's talk now a little bit more about polymer-coated fertilizers. The polymer coatings are applied to a soluble fertilizer, and these are the true controlled-release fertilizers. Release is by diffusion through the polymer coating rather than the breakdown of a coating. And the release rate can be manipulated by adjusting the coating, either through the polymer chemistry or the polymer thickness. So if we put a thicker coating on the around the granular of urea, we're going to change the time that it takes for that to release. Moisture is required, but soil temperature is the primary regulator. And Dr. Golden has already mentioned that this morning in his presentation. And most of the products that use the polymer-coated technology are used in the turf industry or the ornamental industry. And ESN is one product that is now commercially available in agriculture. So what is environmentally smart nitrogen, or ESN? We're gonna talk about what ESN is, how the technology works, go through some of our use recommendations, and finally we'll go through some field results. So ESN is an enhanced efficiency fertilizer. We've got some data we'll show you to stand behind that definition that we've already talked about. It's a polymer-coated urea. It's 44% nitrogen. And the only reason it's different than the 46% nitrogen with the urea is because the weight of the coating brings down the percent nitrogen in that total weight. And it is a controlled release form of nitrogen. ESN is the only commercial, the only controlled release nitrogen source widely available in agriculture, providing growers with a return on the investment through increased nitrogen efficiency. So how does the technology work? We're going to look at the nitrogen loss mechanisms. Dr. Golden showed us some of those earlier, and we're going to go through those a little bit differently than he showed us. We're going to look at the stabilizers and inhibitors and compare those with how the ESN technology works. So there's three main nitrogen losses that we're concerned with. First is leaching, and we all know that leaching is the movement of the nitrogen out of the rooting zone, primarily in coarse textured soils, and more often when we have high levels of precipitation shortly after these products are applied. Volatilization is the loss of nitrogen to the atmosphere as ammonia gas, and this most often happens when nitrogen is applied to the soil surface in the organic form of urea, and it's not incorporated quickly into the soil. And then we have denitrification, and this occurs in wet soils or compacted soils when we have warm temperatures and readily decomposable organic matter is present. This is a study that was conducted by Drs. Thornberry up in Kentucky and Dr. Ebelhair in Illinois. Yes, there is another Dr. Ebelhair, for those of you that don't know that. But and they were looking at enhanced efficiency products and the ways that these products can reduce ammonia volatilization. The two top lines on this graph, the red bar and the kind of the maroon bar, those are urea and UAN, and you can see that those two are definitely more volatile than any of the other products here. The rest of the control release products did reduce the amount of ammonia volatilization, but ESN, the green line there at the bottom, reduced the amount of volatilization we had and kept that reduction in place for a longer period of time than any of the other fertilized products. Bobby showed a slide very similar to this, the fate of fertilizers. We've already talked about volatilization, denitrification, and leaching. This is just the pathways that nitrogen can go. So the stabilizers and inhibitors are not true slow-release fertilizers. They reduce the loss by slowing the conversion of nitrogen from sources to forms that can be lost. The protection time can range from a few days to a few weeks, depending on the product and what step it's trying to slow down. Products that we're most familiar with are things like Agritane, InServe, DCD, Super U, Super N, Nutrisphere, and Guardian. These products will provide a specific benefit for a specific time period. Now, if conditions are conducive to nitrogen loss or processes addressed by the product for the effective period of the product, that benefit may be realized. So let's talk a little bit more about fertilizer technology. So if we start with urea, we know that has to be converted to ammonia and then finally to a nitrate form. The conversion from urea to ammonia takes about 24 to 48 hours depending on temperature and moisture conditions. And then the conversion to the nitrate is going to take approximately 7 to 10 days. So urease inhibitors, things like Agritane, are designed to slow down this process of the conversion of urea to ammonia. This is Agritane is going to protect the urea for about 7 to 10 days until that can get incorporated into the soil or until you can get a rain event. The nitrification inhibitors, things like InServe, are designed to block the next step where you're converting from ammonia to nitrate, and they're designed to work for about 6 to 8 weeks. So let's talk a little bit about ESN technology and how that works. We still have our same process, the same time to get from point A to point B, but with ESN we're gonna take 60 to 80 days depending on the temperature. It's going to give you the most protection for the longest period of time compared to these other products. So when is ESN going to work? When is it not going to work? Is there any magic bullet that we can come up with to increase your probability of ESN working? We looked at a lot of our tests, and this is from all over the country and multiple crops. Split it out based on precipitation. The two columns on the left on this graph are areas of greater precipitation or irrigated areas. And we define greater precipitation as more than 6 to 8 inches of rainfall within the first 2 months after application. And then the areas on the other side of the chart are lower precipitation or dry land production. And then within each one of those categories, we further split that out into areas of low organic matter or high organic matter. And we're defining high organic matter as 3 to 4% organic matter. And then we further break those down into poorly drained, moderately well drained, or well drained soils. So if you think about the cotton production soils, most of those soils are going to fit into these darker green bars. And the darker the green on this chart, I know it's a little hard to see here, but the darker the green on these bars, the higher the probability that ESN is going to perform at a higher yield level than your other products. So ESN is a polymer-coated urea. We're showing the polymer coating around that urea granule. The water has to move in through that coating. It has to solubilize that urea, dissolve the nitrogen into solution, and that all happens inside that granule. And then when the temperature gets to a certain point, the nitrogen starts moving out. It will diffuse through this polymer into the soil solution. And now you can see we've got some examples of what ESN is going to look like. This granule here is one that has not taken in any water. The urea is still in a solid form. The one right above it, the urea is partially dissolved, and there's some solid urea still remaining inside that granule. The one here below it, I lost my pointer. There it is. The one below it here, the urea has been completely dissolved with inside that capsule. And then the ones on the other side are completely empty capsules. All you have left is the actual coating. All the nitrogen has been released from this coating. And it's going to take this coating 12 to 18 months to deteriorate. We'll still be able to find this coating in the field. But it is a vegetable-based product, and it will deteriorate. There's no kind of residue concerns or anything like that. This is a chart that Dr. Golden already showed, and Bobby, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. Bobby said he couldn't do the math standing on his feet to convert. I had to look it up this morning, but I did remember it. 5 degrees is 39 degrees Fahrenheit. 10 degrees is 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And 23 is 75 degrees Fahrenheit, or that's within a degree or two. So you can see when the temperature starts getting up into where we want to be growing cotton, the release is going to be at a faster level. Now, keep in mind the way this curve looks, the blue line, and this is a chart very similar to the one that Dr. Golden showed. This is derived from some work Dr. Glenn Harris did at the University of Georgia. But you can see how the release from ESN is going to coincide with the need for the nitrogen. The peak need for nitrogen is going to come in about 40 days after planting, about the time of squaring, and carry all the way through that peak bloom up until about the first open bowl. Then the need for nitrogen is going to start gradually declining. So let's talk now a little bit about our use recommendations, how we think we need to be using this product in cotton, and we're going to talk about three separate scenarios, what we need to do. We'll look at pre-plant nitrogen management. What do we want to do if we want to put out all of our nitrogen before we plant? We'll look at only a side dress or top dress application. And then we'll look at split nitrogen applications and which ways are going to work best, how we can utilize these. So if we decide we want to use only a pre-plant nitrogen management strategy, we're going to have a single application of ESN at planting. This is going to be convenient. It's going to save fertilizer operations during the growing season. It's going to protect your nitrogen while it's providing a single nitrogen application option. In this situation, we would apply 100% of our nitrogen recommended rates using ESN to make up 80 to 100% of the total recommendation. We may need to blend something like ammonium sulfate in here to get our sulfur requirements, give the plant a little bit of soluble nitrogen so it gets off to a good start and it's not needing that extra nitrogen while we're going through that lag phase that Dr. Golden discussed. We want to apply this before or at planting, and if we can, it's going to work better if we can incorporate it, especially for dry land or furrow irrigated fields. If we're furrow irrigating, we really need to incorporate this because if we start running water through the middles, we can move some of this product down through the field and run into some problems that way. For sprinkler irrigation, if we can incorporate it, it'll be good, but it's not necessary to incorporate for sprinkler irrigated. So now we're going to move and talk about some side dress or top dress applications. These applications can provide better timing or synchronization of when the nitrogen is actually released versus when the crop needs it. If you remember, Dr. Golden discussed with us that we need to supply that nitrogen at the time that the crop needs it, and putting it out at the side dress will definitely help us meet that demand. If we're doing this, we want to apply the nitrogen at the recommended rates in a blend with ESN. This blend needs to be about 70 to 90% ESN with the remainder in a soluble form of nitrogen. We're moving this nitrogen application a little bit later. The plant's going to start needing that nitrogen immediately, so we have to have some soluble nitrogen out there that the plant can take up while we're waiting on the ESN to start working, start releasing, and becoming available to the plant. For dry land cotton, again, we need to incorporate this. For furrow irrigated, we want to incorporate it before we plow through for our irrigation furrows. That's just going to move the ESN up out of the irrigation furrows, get that covered up and protect it from washing off through the down the road. And then sprinkler irrigated, we can incorporate that, but it's not essential. And this is one of our common strategies. A lot of people like to use a split nitrogen application in cotton. This is going to combine the nitrogen loss protection of a side dress or the top dress ESN application with the immediate nitrogen availability of the pre-plant application of conventional fertilizers. It's going to give us the maximum flexibility on our nitrogen timing. We can apply sufficient soluble nitrogen at planting to cover the crop's needs for the first 3 to 4 weeks, then come back with the balance of the nitrogen requirement at a top dress or side dress time. This is going to be in the form of an ESN application. This is going to provide your most nitrogen protection for the traditional application processes. Now, by applying the nitrogen this way, it gives you the flexibility. You can come out anytime from 2 weeks after planting up until probably 5 weeks after planting. Put the ESN out during that window. Now, we never know what the weather is going to be during that time. If we're waiting until that fourth leaf to put out our side dress application with conventional fertilizers, if we get 2 weeks of rainy weather, it gets awful tough to get out there and make our nitrogen applications. With ESN, if we get a window of good weather, we can go out, make these applications, and don't have to worry about nitrogen loss because it's still inside that capsule. It is protected. So finally, let's move in and we'll talk about some field trials. Bobby's already talked about Mississippi and Louisiana data. We're going to skip over those. We're just going to focus on some data we have from Arkansas, Missouri, Virginia, and North Carolina. And the first test is ESN versus urea. This was conducted in southeast Arkansas. Dr. Mozafari with the University of Arkansas conducted these trials in 2010 and 2011. And these data are averaged across three locations in those 2 years with five nitrogen rates. From the graph on the left, we're showing the urea with a yield of 2,350 pounds of seed cotton versus 2,400 pounds of seed cotton with ESN, difference of about 60 pounds here. When we look at the return on this, and we calculated these a couple of years ago. We calculated at 80-cent cotton and also calculated at $1.20 cotton. That's probably not very applicable to what we're looking at today. So we're just going to focus in on this 80-cent cotton. But that was an increase of $27.51 versus the urea application. Some more work that Dr. Mozafari conducted. This is a 2011 study looked at three rates of nitrogen broadcast before planting and incorporated. This was a blend study where we had 100% ESN, 75% ESN, 25% urea, a 50-50 blend, and then the zero is straight urea. You can see that the 75 and the 50% blend gave us our maximum yields. This allowed for the fertilizer to have a little bit of soluble nitrogen that the plant could use, take up when it started growing. But the bulk of this fertilizer was becoming available about the time of square and when the plants really needed the nitrogen and that increased demand. Some application timing studies. This is some work that was done by David Dunn and Andrea Jones at the University of Missouri. We had three locations in 2010 that they conducted, and these data are from 110 pounds of ESN all applied pre-plant, 110 pounds of ESN applied 3 weeks after planting. Then we had a blend of 30 pounds of urea and 80 pounds of ESN 3 weeks after planting. And then the area standard, which was a split application, that's 60 pounds of urea followed by at planting, followed by 60 pounds of urea at the four-leaf stage. And you can see all three of our ESN timings did better than the area standard. The best application was that blended application put out 3 weeks after planting. That gave us the soluble nitrogen we needed for the plant at that time, plus allowed that nitrogen to be available later on into the growing season through the ESN. When we look at the returns over that, we're just going to look at the light green bars. That's the based on the 80 cent price of cotton. The pre-plant ESN, that was $94 better than the Missouri standard. When we looked at the 100% ESN 3 weeks after planting, that increased it to $134 per acre benefit. And then finally, when we put in the soluble nitrogen with the ESN 3 weeks after planting, we increased that benefit to $192 per acre. Moving on to some data that we collected this year in 2012 in Virginia. This was on the farm of Jimmy Oliver in Smithfield, Virginia. ESN was applied at side dress. We used a rate of 44 pounds of ESN. He compared that to a 24003S, ammonium sulfate solution that he was using, and he put out 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre in this one. So if you compare the two, the ESN had 130 pounds higher yield with less nitrogen. We were actually able to save some nitrogen costs, save the total pounds of nitrogen, and increase our yields. Another study that was conducted in North Carolina last year, this was conducted by Dr. Ron Heininger with North Carolina State. This was conducted in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. We applied ESN and a 21% nitrogen solution, both applied at side dress at a rate of 63 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And we had about a 70-pound lint yield response to the ESN in this trial. And finally, some work from Dr. Glenn Harris at the University of Georgia back in 2006. He looked at the split application of ammonium nitrate versus the split application of ammonium nitrate followed by an ESN application and then a pre-plant ESN application. Now, both of the ESN applications did do better than the standard ammonium nitrate split application, and it's showing not much difference between the pre-plant versus the split applied coming back with the ESN at the four-leaf stage. The chart on the right is showing the comparison of returns on this or increased profit. Both of these are showing increase in profit versus the split ammonium nitrate application. So just to kind of conclude, the benefits depends on the balance between the potential risk and the relative cost. Some things that growers need to consider is how much nutrient is likely to be lost. If we don't have the probability of losing nitrogen, we're probably not going to see much of a benefit from any of our nitrogen release products. Will the product reduce the specific loss? If you're concerned about volatilization, we need to use one type of product. If we're concerned about leaching, we probably need to look at a different product. If we're concerned about both of those, we need to look at still another product. So how much time is going to be saved? Are we going to be able to save equipment cost? Are we going to be able to save fuel or labor versus the standard technology? And what is the risk of a delayed side dress application? With our conventional products, if we're shooting to put that application out at the four-leaf stage, we get a lot of rain and we're not able to get in the field. How much are we going to lose by having to wait and delay that application until the six or seven-leaf stage? So we've talked about the benefits of ESN. We've shown how we can increase yields and increase profits. We've discussed ways that we can reduce the number of applications. We've talked about the convenience of the application window. And if these recommendations don't fit your needs, we can tailor a program to fit your individual needs. These are just some examples of some programs that we know that will work, but there are other options. If anybody has any questions about that, we'd be happy to discuss that with you. And that's going to conclude my presentation this morning. If anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions for Mike?
Right. Right now, ESN is one coating, and that's what we're evaluating, trying to figure out if ESN is the way to go, or if we need something that's going to release a little bit longer. We do have some other products, some of our duration products, and we're looking at those to see if they have different thicknesses. We're gonna try to evaluate those, see if there's a benefit to using those. The thing is, when you start changing that coating thickness, you really increase the price of it, and it gets into an economics thing, and will the growers be able to afford that? So we're exploring those to see if there's a better option for cotton, but right now ESN is still looking like it's our best option with what we've got today. Yes, sir. Generally speaking, it's going to be about 10 cents per unit nitrogen over the price of urea. Now, this is all going to be controlled by the retailers. We sell it to the retailers. They set their own price at it. But a good average is 10 cents per pound of nitrogen over the cost of urea. No, that was straight urea. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I can't.
I think it's, can you get too wet?
Right. If you have a wet season,
the more rainfall we get, the better the ESN is going to work. The increased rainfall, your soluble forms of nitrogen that you're putting out, that's going to make them more accessible to leaching. The ESN is releasing, it's a controlled release, so it's only releasing a little bit of the nitrogen at a time. So you're not going to be subjected to as much nitrogen loss with the ESN as compared to your soluble forms of nitrogen.
Time for okay. One last question. Anybody has one? All right, let's give my hand.
Thank you,
sir.